Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. We are sharing with you on the subject of the kingdom of God and how we need to enter into it. We've talked about out of 1 Chronicles chapter 17, where David prophesied of the raising up of the seed and establishing of his kingdom. And the seed is Jesus Christ, who came and established his kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he said that all authority has been given unto him. And he went back to heaven, and he was enthroned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and given the scepter of righteousness, the scepter of his kingdom. So Jesus entered into his kingdom as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What kind of a kingdom? It was a kingdom that's not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." It was a kingdom from heaven. You and I enter into the kingdom of God the day that we're born again. In Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible indicates that he's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You and I are now kings and priests unto God, Revelation 1:6. We are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, and we are heirs of the kingdom. It's part of our inheritance, James 2, verse 5. Remember Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." You are in the position to rule and reign under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember that the kingdom is not a dwelling place, but a position of rule which we stand in and we enter into experientially as we act upon the word. Now the word for authority is exousia, which means the right to rule, spiritual jurisdiction, denoting freedom for the act and the authority for the action. Ex is out, ousia means to be, so exousia means to be out of, or to be out of ourself, or the right to go beyond ourself. What we are doing is we are operating with the power of attorney, as the authority is delegated authority that we operate in through the name of Jesus. With the authority delegated to us, we have the right to enforce spiritual laws, we have the right to rule and reign over the enemy, and with the authority delegated to us comes the responsibility to enter into the ruling and reigning and carry out that rule and reign. A kingdom means a king's domain. Kings rule. Dom is short for domain, a territory or realm. So you and I enter into ruling and reigning. And remember, Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now entering into the kingdom experientially, we must be born again to be able to see or perceive it and to enter into it. And then in Matthew 6:33, it says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God. Luke 12 says it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Now in order to operate in the kingdom, we've got to learn the ways of the kingdom. Matthew 13:19 talks about the word of the kingdom. As we hear the word of the kingdom, it is showing us how the rule and the reign of God works. And as we order our steps in the word, no iniquity will have dominion over us, because we'll walk in the rule and the reign of the Lord. And we talked about the fact that there are prerequisites for you to be able to enter into ruling and reigning. In Matthew 18, verse 3 and 4, we saw that you got to be converted and become as a little child, humbling yourself in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the one who humbles himself as the little child, the Bible says he's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We also talked about the fact that we must be under authority. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, Jesus came to Capernaum. Remember, the centurion said, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof," because he was not in covenant relationship with God. "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." The centurion was under authority to the Roman government and in authority over the soldiers, and he understood how authority worked, that he would speak forth words and they would obey. In like manner, he understood that Jesus was under authority to the Father in heaven, in authority over sickness and disease and all the devils and all the works of the enemy, and that authority was released by speaking forth words. It is very important that you are under authority to the Father, and then you will operate in authority as you speak forth words, and you must exercise yourself in speaking forth words of authority, just as this centurion was, as he was developed in it, and that's why Jesus said he's not found such great faith, because he operated in it continuously. Now today we're going to go on and talk about more principles that are very important. In Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers," the word powers is authorities, "for there is no power or authority but of God. The powers or authorities that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power of the authority resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." You and I need to be submitted unto the authorities. That includes not only to God's word, but also to the laws of the nation that we're in, as long as they don't violate God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, the Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You've got to be righteous, which are those that are not only born again, but also those who are doing righteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And the word doeth is present tense in the Greek, denoting continuous, repeated action. So you and I are going to do righteousness continually, and that makes us righteous. "The unrighteous shall not inherit the rule and the reign of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Remember, it's part of our inheritance. In Galatians chapter 5, it says something similar in verse 19, where it says, "The works of the flesh are manifest," and it mentions those. And then it says in verse 21, "Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That means we've got to deal with the works of the flesh in our life. We've got to turn away from them and walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, if you do such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5 brings us out again. It says, "You know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Now, Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It's not about food and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's talking about walking right with God and being in fellowship with Him and not giving place to areas of sin and walking in obedience to the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." You and I are to be hearers and doers of the commandments of God, and also to teach them to others. The Bible says you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everybody just calls Lord, Lord is going to enter in. No, only those who doeth the will of the Father. Now the word doeth here is in the present tense, denoting continuous, repeated action. So this is saying that those who just call out to the Lord and call Him their Lord shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless they are consistently doing the will of the Father. He goes on in verse 22 and says, "Many will say it to me in that day." And notice it said many. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Notice that they had prophesied, past tense, have cast out devils, have done many wonderful works, past tense. And then he says, ye that work iniquity, that's present tense. The word for iniquity is anomia, which is lawlessness. So this is speaking of those who continuously are working lawlessness. He says, depart from me. Then he goes on in Matthew 7, verse 24, and he says, therefore, and whenever you see therefore, you know it's tying together what was previously said with what is going to follow. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here we see in verse 24, if one is a hearer and a doer of the word, and the word heareth is present tense, continuous repeated action, and doeth is also present tense, continuous repeated action, indicating a person who consistently hears and does the word, he's the wise man. He's built his house upon a rock. And it says, when the rain or the floods or the winds come against that house, it fell not because it was founded upon a rock. But the one who is a hearer and not a doer of the sayings, he's a foolish man. He'd build his house on sand, and the same rain, floods, and wind come against that house, and it falls. That shows the fact that only those who are doing consistently the will of the Father, which are those who are hearing and doing the Word of God, are building their foundation upon the rock. They're the ones who are wise. Those are the ones that are walking in His ways, and the ones that are going to enter into the kingdom and the rule and the reign of heaven. Now in Mark chapter 13, verse 34, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and he commanded the porter to watch." Here we see that the Son of Man is Jesus. The far journey, talking about he left his house, means he went back to heaven, and he turned around and he gave authority to his servants, that's us who are born again. He's delegated that authority to us, and to every man his work. You and I have been given authority, and we've been given a work. There is not only a way which we must walk in, but also a work which we must do as we operate in the authority given to us and enter into ruling and reigning, taking our rightful place. You see, the Lord has given authority unto us. Every one of us has a work to do. So you and I must take the authority delegated unto us and do the work that God has commanded us to do. As we have legally come into the position of ruling and reigning, now we must enter into ruling and reigning in the kingdom experientially as we use the authority delegated to us and do the works of God. Another point in Mark 10, verse 24, where Jesus said, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God." You're not going to enter into ruling and reigning in the kingdom of God if you trust in riches. Remember that the deceitfulness of riches is one of the things that chokes the word out of a person's life in the parable of the sower. That's why it is hard for that person to ever enter into the kingdom of God if they trust in riches. Then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, the Bible says this, "Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." The word receiving is the Greek word lambano, which means a taking hold of. Wherefore, we, taking hold of a kingdom which cannot be moved. You see, you've got to take hold of the rule and the reign of God. Then you have grace to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear, because you and I are called to enter into the kingdom to rule and reign and to serve the Lord acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You and I have been given authority, and we see these principles that are outlined in the Word of God showing us how we enter into the rule and the reign of God. I want to invite you to our church in Phoenix. Services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., Wednesday at 7. For more information, call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.